think they're cool looking and stuff like that. They look completely ridiculous and out of place, probably to Benoit in Texas, period, but especially in July and August and September. But we think they look festive and things like that during the winter months. It has nothing to do with Christmas as far as we're concerned, but it doesn't matter. Some people will say, will judge you and say, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. Well, you have the grace to do that too, see? He said in verse, anyway, back to my point, that some of those kingdom believers didn't understand this thing about the grace. And so for fear they may have eaten meat sacrificed to idols, they would only eat herbs and not meat. And that's why he said in verse 3, let him that eateth, meaning the meat, despise, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. And the point is, God received both of them. This was a transitional time, I realize. And we're now fully in the dispensation of grace. There isn't any law to keep. There isn't any kingdom gospel to preach or anything like that. There aren't weak brethren in the context of Romans 14 or 1 Corinthians 8. But there are weak brethren in the faith who won't grow up. And rather than call them weak brethren, I'll call them Corinthians. And I'm not talking about because they've decided that they don't want to have anything to do with a certain holiday. That doesn't make them weak. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about they're weak in that they would judge another person for not doing it or for doing it. It goes both ways. And Paul said in, not 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, excuse me. He says, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnals, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. And why were they carnal? He says, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? You know, there's a unity conference coming up in December. Pastor Jerry Porcy is going to host this in Orlando, Florida. And I know him a little bit. I don't know him well. I've agreed to go. We are going to try to provide some music there with Berea or something. And I plan to preach. Brother Mike Schrader is going to preach, Lord willing. Brother Les Feldick has been invited to preach. In fact, he's the featured speaker. I think Brother Jerry Porcy's intent is to use him as a draw in addition to Disney World, which is nearby. There are other preachers that are going to come, some of whom I do not know. And there's one thing I know, they do not all agree about every non-essential thing concerning rightly dividing the word of truth. I do believe they agree on fundamentals, but there's some issues where we would find a lot of differences. Now, the intent of Brother Jerry Porcy is to somehow make this a unity conference. It's kind of funny because he's saying he wants to feature the different points of view on all of this stuff, but he doesn't want to allow them to discuss it or debate it or, you know, deal with it in that sense. I don't really find that unifying. I find that pointing out the divisions, but in his mind he seems to see it as a way to unify, or somehow he's praying that it will bring unity. What I don't really condone or care about is that, I agree, D, I think he does, and, you know, we would certainly, hi Mike, we would certainly find ourselves disagreeing on plenty of points of doctrine, but that's okay. You know, the point is, we don't have to unify on every single point of Scripture. And this is an example of that. Just because I might choose to not celebrate anything to do with Christmas and have no Christmas tree or no Easter eggs or anything like that, or Halloween candy or any such thing as that, and I might even go as far as to say, and I'm also not going to celebrate any birthdays, or I will not call the days of the week Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I will only call them the first day, the second day, the third day. I mean, I will not call the months of the year August or July, because that's after two Roman emperors who thought they were gods. I mean, you could go so far with this thing, and that'd be fine if you choose to. But That doesn't mean that I'm going to condemn another individual who does. And I can't. Because they have the same grace to celebrate it as I have to not celebrate it, and vice versa. And so I think this is one of those issues that we need to get off of, and yet every year around this time and around Christmas time, those same preachers start preaching and beating the war drums about how evil and bad and wrong it is to have a Christmas tree or to, you know, eat a chocolate bunny and that kind of a thing. And I just don't understand that. I just don't understand it when I know for a fact that if there's two times of the year when the average person who never darkens the door of a church might come through the doors of my church, it's going to be Christmas and Easter. And bless God, I am going to preach the cross. I'm going to praise God for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care when it is. I'm going to praise God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we do that every Sunday. We do that every time we meet. But I'm not going to make a big deal out of the holiday and start carrying on about it and turn these people off so that they'll never come back. Now, they may come in, hear the gospel, and never come back too, but at least I'll know the reason they don't come back isn't because I offended them for their belief in a holiday or something like that. I don't like it either. And, you know, Jesus isn't the reason for the season. But you know what? We can redeem it. Jesus wasn't born December 25th. As far as we know, it was sometime in September. But we don't need to know when he was born. That's probably why God didn't give us the specific day. But we can redeem the season and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what people are doing. You know, years back, when I lived in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, we had a little carnival type thing we did at my home. At the time we lived in a house, we rented a house that had a pretty large yard in a neighborhood. And the church in Baton Rouge at that time didn't have its own building. They met in an office building. So we hosted something called Harvest Full of Blessings. And we did it on Halloween because we knew that a lot of kids were going to be out getting candy and stuff like that. And so we had a thing at our house where people came, the kids came after they'd done all their trick-or-treating, and we had like a little carnival set up with little games, you know, fish the duck pond and throw the sponge at the guy with a mask on, like a monkey mask or something, through the hole, and like a football toss, a ring toss, all those kind of things. And then at the end, we had a little Bible study. And we had Brother Obie Kirkpatrick get up and preach this very simple salvation message to the children and their parents. And it was great. I mean, it was a great time of fellowship. People came together. All the families of the church each offered to build one of the carnivals at one of the events. And it was a great time. We offered to do that in another city once at another church, and the pastor of that church decided, no, we could not do it on that day because it was too closely associated with Halloween. And I said, Grace, Pastor, and I said, but you understand, we're trying to do this in lieu of the satanic practice of Halloween. We want to have a Christian-oriented event alternative for people to come to. He would have none of it. In his mind, it sounded too churchy, too religious, too idolatrous, or whatever. And, you know, it missed the whole point of the thing. So there was, to me, a missed opportunity to share the gospel and to witness the truth of Christ and things like that. And I respect the individual's opinion. It was their church, their assembly, their decision, and I have no animosity towards them for making that choice. But it saddens me to think that just because of some stigma about a day, that they couldn't see the door of utterance there to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ in spite of it. Excuse me. And so what they missed was an opportunity to redeem it. To redeem the day. Has the day become a satanic... does it have a satanic origin? Absolutely. Halloween or whatever. Does it have a satanic implication to this day? For most people, probably not. To them, it's just a place to get candy. There's a lot of greed involved, I'm sure. There's disgusting masks and hideous-looking scary things and things that upset my spirit about it and everything else. But what difference does the day make if we could proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ and use an event to do it? See, I'm all in favor of that. Paul says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another man esteemeth every day alike. Well, in closing, I wanted to share this thought with you. By the way, but that was back in Romans 14. I was trying to quote something. I should let you see it. Where was that? Verse 5. Paul said, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. Well, then, can you regard a day unto the Lord? Yes, you can. What if it was December 25th or whenever they have Easter? Then you can. It's not meaning that you're saying, I believe this is a God-sanctioned holiday. It doesn't mean that you're worshiping Ashtaroth or whatever. You're regarding it to the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. Can it be both ways? Can't we give thanks either way? It looks to me like we can. And here's the last thing in Colossians 2. Since we now know that we're not under any ordinances or any judgment for any days, look what he said in verse 16, Colossians 2:16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now, I understand in the context, the holy days would be those sanctioned by the Lord in under the law. That's clear to me, because that's what was the shadow of things to come. But it doesn't change the fact that he said, let no man judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. In other words, if you decide to praise God for the resurrected Jesus Christ this Sunday, have at it. It doesn't make any difference to me what day that is. And you can regard it to the Lord, and you can redeem that day if you want to. If you decide, nope, the pagan origin is more than I can handle, for me it's a sinful thing to acknowledge the day in any way, shape, or form, then regard not the day, do it unto the Lord, give praise to God for the fact that you don't have to celebrate Easter or Christmas or whatever, but don't judge any man. And don't get all bent out of shape and things like that. He said, in verse, I think we just read it. Let no man judge you. Yeah, that's all there is to it. So my point is, you know, we have to give as much grace as we take. It's just that simple. You know, we are supposed to be the salt of the earth, and we're supposed to give all the grace. That's right. Disregard the day, not the brother. And, you know, It would bother me, I guess, if the individual that did not regard the day was, you know, chose to keep their child home from the Bible Brigade activities that we do tonight because we're having it on Good Friday, or because one of the games might involve hiding a Bible verse of Scripture in an egg. But, you know, I'm not going to judge that individual if that's their decision. It just seems like it's taking such a hard line to keep their child from participating in what everything else is. What we're doing is not regarding the day, but taking advantage of the opportunity to meet because it was just scheduled that way. And enjoying the fact that right now candy's pretty cheap and we can stick a few little chocolates inside an egg or something for the kids to have fun with. It's one of the several games we're going to do. So, you know, if that's what singles it out as somehow being wrong or satanic, well, the Lord knows the heart. See, the Lord knows that it's not in our heart to try to promote Easter in any way, shape, or form. We don't really care. Like I said, I didn't even realize Easter was coming up last Sunday because I just don't regard the day. But I wouldn't make a big deal out of the day. I wouldn't condone or condemn a person for celebrating the day. I just don't think it matters to the Lord. I think what matters to the Lord is that we have charity one towards another, that we fellowship one with another, that we encourage and edify each other, and give all the grace that we take. So anyway, that's all I wanted to share about that. I probably spoke too much, or like my aunt used to say, I told you more than I know already. So, is there anybody that has anything to share or any other questions? You know, I know I realize I could have gone back through and pulled out all these verses from the Old Testament about the idolatry and the evergreen tree and the baking the cakes to the Queen of Heaven and stuff like that. And no, I would never get involved in something that is implicitly religious, like a mass or a confession or this kind of thing. But you know what? If you go too far with this thing, then it would almost have to be, no matter what you do as a business, you would have to make sure that you don't serve a person who's a member of a denominational system. And what's funny is these same people that take a hard line about, grace believers that take a hard line about Christmas and Easter, would say, oh, well, it doesn't matter then, because, you know, you're just serving people. And then I say, well, what about this? For one of the things I do for a living is I play music. And I play weddings. We play classical guitar and jazz arrangements for weddings and receptions and things like that. And sometimes we get clients call us, and they are Catholic. And they're getting married at a Catholic church. Am I supposed to refuse to go play there because it's a Catholic church? In fact, most churches, most weddings are in churches that are not rightly dividing churches. So am I supposed to not go to any of those churches? And then in many cases, they do the mass there. And one of the songs we have to play is a song. It's actually a very beautiful song, but it's a tribute to Mary. It's called Ave Maria. And it's all about her. It was written by Schubert, I think. In fact, it's one of the most challenging songs I ever play. It's a knuckle buster to actually play on the guitar. But it's a beautiful song. And so we play it to the same. As I play it, I'm not sitting here thinking, oh, praise Mary, Ave Maria. I'm not thinking that in my head. I'm thinking, oh, no, here comes that horrible B minor 6 chord that's so hard to play. You know, and none of the things in my head have anything to do with worshiping idols or saints or any such thing as that. That's right. So what are you supposed to do? Are we supposed to say, no, I'm sorry, as a grace believer, it would be sinful for me to even set foot in that church? Hey, we're just making a living, you know. We're not condoning the service. We're not encouraging the mass. We're not amening anything that they do while we're there. We're simply saying to this bride who's a Catholic lady, your money is just as green as anybody else's. We're going to come do the best job we can for you as anybody else. And, you know, I mean, how far do you take the thing? I'm trying to illustrate absurdity by being absurd here. How far do you take the thing? And if you're going to follow it to its logical conclusion. But you personally, if you have the issue with the day or the thing, then disregard the day to the Lord and praise God for the grace that you have. And that's all that matters. Okay, back to your questions. Anything that you have or that you want to share? Thank you, Tommy. And again, this is not normally the kind of topic of conversation I have. We usually get much deeper into the scriptures. Next time, play some Berea songs at Catholic Church. Hey, Benoit, you know we did that once. We know a lady who actually goes to our church, and her daughter is Catholic. They were raised Catholic, and her daughter remains Catholic. And she got married in a Catholic church, but they asked us to play a Berea song in their service. And we did. We played Two Hearts in His Name, which, by the way, was a song, incidentally, in case anybody doesn't know, that I actually wrote for Brother Jeremy Woodruff and his wife Rebecca when they got married. They asked me to write a song for them, and that song was actually written. And so anyway, for whatever that's worth, they hold a special place in my heart, and I guess that song does too. But nevertheless, I'm really glad you guys are here today, especially new ones here, Tommy. And Dee, good to see you. Glad you could join us today from the far coast out there in Oregon. And let's see, Tommy was in Virginia, is in Virginia. Benoit's in Canada. Larry's in Texas. And Mike, you are in, you've told me this 10 times, haven't you? Mike, you are in New Mexico, right? or Michigan? Illinois. Ah, I never get it right. Oh, well. At least there's not going to be a quiz. Glad you're with us this afternoon, everybody. I hope you have a great weekend, regardless of what you think about this coming Sunday. And whether you bow the knee to Ashtaroth or whether you praise God for the risen Lord Jesus Christ every day, I hope that you enjoy the grace of your salvation. And yeah, go ahead, Benoit. Talk all you want. He's got a mic so he can open up.
Well, for me, I was raised Roman Catholic, so I went to Mass, you know, a lot of times, over 1,000 times in less than 3 years. So for me to go back to a Roman Catholic church for any kind of celebration, for any reason at all, it really pains me. But you can understand, being raised in that system and now being a right divider, how difficult it would be for me to go, let's say, to play music like you guys do. It would be very difficult, because I know how, you know, it would bring back so much memories of all the bad things that they teach. But I am pleased that I was raised Catholic, because they did teach me a lot of good things too. You know, I can't reject everything that they gave me through the years, but now that I know, you know, this material, that, you know, the salvation is free and all this stuff, you know, I can't even think of going in there, and the first thing I'm going to see is that crucifix at the end there of the alley, you know, behind the altar. When I see that, man, it's going to hurt me really bad, you know, emotionally.
You mean you don't get bottled holy water shipped in?
Well, gee, I guess I could start a new business here from the North Pole and have it ship around the world. So
you all that melted genuine snow. Melted.
Well, hey, they do have the, they still have the, you know, the Easter Sunday rise going to get some water. They still do that.
I'm going to put it back on hands-free now that Benoit said his thing about the Catholic Church. And I appreciate him sharing that, because you can understand where he's coming from. And I certainly do. I see what he's talking about there. And it would bother me. And not even having ever been raised Catholic, but raised in a Catholic state, it kind of gives me the willies when I go in these churches and see all their idols and things like that. You know, I'm not saying that when I go there, I'm just as comfortable as I would be at home or around grace believers. But I can appreciate where he's coming from, and I agree with him that even though he may have learned some good things there, because they do teach about God and some things that are true. They teach Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And yet, with all that bad doctrine, I can see the bad feelings that come there. But I appreciate what Mike just shared. He wrote, it must have been hard for Paul to go back into synagogues weekly in Acts after coming out from them. That's right. I can imagine. But you know what? I would think if a person, you know, as much as it would pain me to do so, if a person said to me, hey, I will come to your church if you will come attend Mass with me one time. You know, I would be willing to do that if it would get them into the church to hear the scriptures. And I don't think in any way that would be me getting entangled in a yoke of bondage to just go in as an agreement to let them come out. I would not be comfortable the whole time. And I'm sure in my mind I would be thinking of, oh, how awful the doctrine is and how many bad things are being said. But I would hold my tongue. I would try to be gracious. And then I would, when we came out, I would say, hey, how about you come to my church now? And I would preach the cross as sincerely and as lovingly as I knew how to do. And then you would just pray that the Spirit of God would give the increase, would open their eyes, and even if they don't come back, you at least planted that seed. And I think if you were a weak brethren, or if you had a problem with it, not being weak, but just a problem like Benoit was talking about, coming out of a system that offended your heart in some way, I wouldn't go. But for me, I wouldn't have a problem doing it. I would go not for the purpose of condoning it, but simply for if the opportunity came up. I've never been given that offer, by the way. But if the opportunity came up, I would do it simply to try to bring them to the knowledge of the truth. The smell would get to you. Yeah, I imagine that's true too. But that's a good point, Mike, that he makes, that, you know, Paul came out of a system and went back, and, you know, it probably broke his heart every time to see the people that he dearly loved set themselves in opposition and want to kill him. Can you imagine the chip he might have had on his shoulder of just, he could have, you know, hated these people, but he didn't. He did not hate the people. He hated the system, but he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And he didn't go in to be entangled. He went in for the purpose of proclaiming the cross and getting out of there and establishing a church or Bible study or something. So, I don't think they will, Benoit. Of course, are you familiar, Benoit, with the stuff about the Spanish Inquisition by Monty Python? I'll send you a link for one. Every time I watch that, I crack up. You know, nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. If anybody's never seen one of these, they're so funny. They're worth a laugh. It's not meant to poke fun at anybody's religion or faith or something like that. But it is hysterical to watch, so I'll just link that to anybody who might want it. Okay. I always get a kick every time I see that, you know, how Benoit says, hope the cats are not going to try to kill me, and then I see the the way, you know, some, there's probably a lot of truth in the, oh, well, no, it's not going to show up on Dendem. I'm just going to put the link there for people to click on it themselves. Okay. Well, listen, I thank you all for your time today. I'm very glad you could join us. Appreciate you, Tommy, joining us for the first time that I know of. And Dee, you coming here as well. Larry, salute all the brethren for me and send our love from Seguin. Especially tell Jamie and Suzanne we said hello and the girls. And y'all just have a great week, and I hope that we can see you. Join us on Sunday night. We'll have our Bible study, and yes, we're going to have a Bible study on Easter Sunday, but I'm not really interested in anything to do with Easter. I'm going to talk about the Word of God. So if you can be here, come on, and I praise God for your fellowship. Y'all take care. Bye-bye. Amen. Redeeming the time. Do we get an egg? Yeah, I'll send you an egg. I've got a chicken, Benoit. She lays an egg every day. I'll have her lay one for you. Oh, gosh. Y'all have a great week. Bye-bye.